The Fix is in. The Sports Fix.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Join the Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today. Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners on the dial, terrestrial or internet, and our audience is one of the greatest and most receptive audiences in all of radio. The Sports Fix universe is not only listeners of the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Our social media universe expands by the day, all in the prime demographics to help drive your business directly into the winner's circle. Don't take my word for it. The Sports Fix comes with reference upon reference that have done business with us in the past and had some fun along the way. For more information on how we can help you knock your business, event, team, product, or promotion out of the park, email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park. Advertise your product right here on The Sports Fix.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. Harry Buffalo North Olmsted presents bike nights every Monday all summer long. $3 beers and drinks for bikers, $5 pizza and more. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
This is Greg Pruitt, formerly of the Cleveland Browns, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
Welcome in, my friends. Another gorgeous day here in Cleveland, Ohio. No matter where you're at, it's always beautiful right here on the Sports Fix. It's always beautiful on Friday, Daddy. The week is over. We have done it. We have gotten through another week together every weekday at noon. Of course, I'm here hopefully helping you get through your lunch hour, the middle part of that day, a little faster. But it seems like just yesterday, it was Monday. And then it was Wednesday, and we were humping through the middle of the week, and then bam, here we are on Friday, and in a good mood on Friday. I'm not going to go crazy about, you know, the Browns win, but the Browns did win. There are some good things that we can take out of that, some good things to talk about. I'm really excited to talk Browns football today because they did win last night, but much more important, they did take some crucial losses and things that could go forward and really affect this team in the injury department. We're going to cover the Browns from all angles today here on the Sports Fix. Plus, the Indians heading out to the West Coast, getting ready to start a, in my opinion, very important set of the next 12 to 15 games here. They've got Oakland. Last time they were out on the West Coast, they swept the Oakland A's. This is a different Oakland A's team. Looking forward to talking to Mike Brandeberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com a little bit later in the show. Mike and I are going to talk about the Indians, preview the Oakland series, and we'll talk a little bit about Mark Reynolds going to the Yankees and the new instant replay policy. It's getting like football now. They can challenge the plays, you know? I mean, hey, getting with the times, something that baseball took a long time to do. We'll talk about that all later on in the show with Mike Brandeberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. Talking Browns, like I said, all angles. We've got Ryan Ruiz from The Inscriber. He's going to join us here around 12:15. We'll talk to him especially. I'm looking very forward to talking to Ryan because, as you know, he's kind of tight with Jason Pinkston. I want to talk to him, get an update on Pinky, see how he's feeling. I know he's got to be quite depressed with the injury last night, because he had just, we know his story and what he had come back from. We're going to talk to Ryan about the injury angles around the Browns and so much more. Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com, he's going to join us a little later in the show. We'll get his takeaways. Also going to talk to him a little bit about the Tribe, because he also writes for Indians101.com. All of that, your phone calls, so much more. We have got a whole lot to jam-pack here into the next 90 minutes on the Sports Fix. Welcome in, my friends. Whether you're new, if it's your first time, or if you're a long-time listener like Bruce, Vashon, those guys in the chat room. By the way, speaking of that Browns game, speaking of the guys in the chat room, because I saw Michael Barnes, hope that everybody that went to the Browns game last night and won tickets from the Sports Fix here this week had a great time last night. We've heard from several of the guys that went, and everybody seems to have had a great time. And it was a great win for them to go see, a good fun time if you were down there at the stadium. Once again, I want to take a moment to thank Jamie Urso, our friends at Tri-State Quality Builders, because they're the ones that got together with us and helped us put together this, get these tickets out to you guys. Really glad to be a part of that. Glad Jamie reached out to us and glad that we could bring that to you. So Michael and Joe and Kim and Nay and everybody that went, Ron, everybody that went out there, hope you had a great time last night, everybody. Michael Barnes, there it is, chiming in on the chat room. It was a great time. Good. Glad you could have a great time. Michael Barnes from Oroville, one of our winners of that. So anyways, just wanted to talk about that. This, my friends, is the Sports Fix. We emanate live every weekday at noon right here on thesportsfix.net, or you can listen to us like so many do around the country and around the world on all of our various digital platforms. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker. We've got even more coming up. So many ways we try to make it so easy for you to get your fix one way or another. I welcome you all into the show, wherever or however you're joining us. The Sports Fix. I am your host, by the way, the big daddy on the microphone, J-Rock Jerry Myers. You can hopefully hear the smile in my voice. I'm having a good time today. I love it every time. I tell you guys this. I love it every time I get to crack the mic and hang out with you guys. But I love it even more today because it's Friday and the Browns won. And yes, how about the streaker running across the field? We'll talk about that in a minute. Man, that man took shots. Shots. I mean, he got dropped and got up and got dropped. He had it going on. Steve Varga, listener of the show, actually on our Facebook page, posted, he's got video. The streaker came from the crowd right next to him there in the crowd. Very entertaining video there on our Facebook page. The Sports Fix, taking me all off course already, guys. The Sports Fix brought to you by the Hairy Buffalo in North Olmsted. Hey, enjoy your weekend. And then this coming Monday, remember, bike night at the Hairy Buffalo in North Olmsted. Head on out there. 4:30 p.m. on bike night is rocking and rolling. They've got $25 cash door prizes for every 25th bike that rolls through the lot, $3 beers and drinks, pizza specials, wing specials, so much more. They make it a great time every Monday. And hey, time's running out. You know, the summer's running low. So get out there, get on that bike, enjoy it while you can. Head to Hairy Buffalo North Olmsted for bike night this coming Monday, every Monday, 4:30 p.m. on. Don't forget as well. Yes, John, chiming in on the chat room. Welcome to John from Florida. We'll definitely be talking about those injuries coming up here in a little bit. The Sports Fix is also brought to you not only by Hairy Buffalo North Olmsted, home of bike nights. And by the way, each and every Browns game will be broadcasting live, pre, post, and half game shows from the Hairy Buffalo North Olmsted, having a good time. And you never know just who's going to show up and be our special guest there. Looking forward to telling you more about that as the Brown season gets closer. Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, my man Bill Hershey, Bill Opelich. I tell you guys all the time, I don't just talk about places, I don't just take advertisers, I talk about people that I believe in. Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck are those people. They'll take care of you whether it's big or small. No matter what, car, truck, whatever your thing is, whatever your problem is, whatever your issues are, if you need transportation or perhaps you've got to work, they'll find a way to make it work for your schedule. Check them out. Call one of the Bills up there, quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck, 5715 Canal Road, just under the 480 Bridge in Valley View. GV Art and Design, you guys know, matter of fact, I'll tell you what, your odds this week for the t-shirt are pretty low because the hopper is huge. It's the biggest we've ever had. The most number of names ever. The shares that have gone on this week are ridiculous. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, our partners, GVArtwork.com, GV Art and Design, our boys. It's not just a shirt, it's a statement, and we believe in the same things that they believe in. That's why we partner up together. We like to tell you guys about them, not only about their fantastic t-shirts, which, by the way, gvartwork.com, use the sales code FIX. Any purchase you make, you'll save 10% on your total purchase. But we believe, like I said, in the same things they believe in. And since they believe in the show and you believe in the show, we've teamed up for the Sports Fix Share and Win contest. All you have to do anytime during the week, share the links to the show. Tell somebody to listen to the show right now that you're listening to. Tag us in the post, and you'll get your name in the hopper. And every Monday at noon when we kick off the week, we draw a winner, and you get the t-shirt of your choice from GV Art and Design. Remember to check them out, gvartwork.com, or check out the brand new badass store out in Lakewood. And it is badass. Detroit Road. Oh, man, you got to check it out. You've got to check the store out. And don't forget, each and every Monday, we draw the winner right here from gvartwork.com. And last but not least, Signs and Ship, the official business printing source of the Sports Fix out in Elyria, Ohio. That's my location. They've also got locations in Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Florida. Whatever your business needs to grow, signs, banners, it doesn't matter if it's business cards, promotional materials, whatever you can think of, if you can dream it up, they can make it. Quality printing at affordable prices. Check them out today, signsandship.com. Check them out on Facebook, facebook.com/signsandship. And don't forget, between now and September 1st, anybody who spends $200 or more at signsandship.com, you will get a professional studio quality radio commercial for your business produced for you by the Sports Fix, and we'll air it here for a few weeks free of charge just to show you the power of working with not only Signs and Ship, but with the Sports Fix. You can't beat that, so check them out, signsandship.com. All right, guys, getting ready to open up the phone lines. Going to open them up early, and then once we start taking guests, I'm going to open them up again late. I'll do the best I can to get to you. The phone number, 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535. If you can't get through on the phone, or perhaps you're at work and you can't use the phone, hit us up on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Like us and become a fan while you're there. By the way, our social media growing. Our Facebook page is together over 18,000 strong. So hit us up on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. We'll read those comments here on the air. Tweet with me, Daddy, at TheSportsFixCLE. I'll read your tweets live on the air. We'll interact that way. So many ways. In the Mixler chat room, Michael and Bruce, I see those guys going at it there. The comments come in so fast that I can't keep up with them a lot of times in the chat room. But there's another way to interact with the show. You can email me, TheSportsFix@AOL.com, or you can hit us up 24 hours a day. Remember, one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports and the Sports Fix. This website, thesportsfix.net. So let's get rocking and rolling. Let's get right into it. Obviously, right off the bat, the first thing that I want to talk about, Daddy, is the Browns. We're all talking Browns. But here's the thing. So many people, and you know what? Before I talk about the Browns specifically, because we're going to dig this, we'll get into this. I kind of want to talk about a thing that just really peeved me last night during the game that had nothing to do with the Browns. It's more of a fan base and a social media thing. I see it so much, and especially on the nights that the Browns play, the conflict, the worthless, meaningless too, because it really bothers me with the Indians fans and the Browns fans, and they troll each other and they intentionally start fights, and it doesn't make sense. You guys know, listen, we talk about this all the time about how no matter what, no matter whether we win, lose, draw, we'll talk about it, we'll be honest about it, we'll be fair about it. But at the end of the day, it's all Cleveland, and we take so many shots, so many uncalled for, unneeded shots from outside of Cleveland, from the national media, from ESPN, from all these places, all the heat that we take, all the stuff that we get piled on us, and it drives me absolutely insane to watch us eat our own young, if that makes sense, the way I'm putting it. To watch you cannibalize each other drives me crazy. Because I don't understand it. At the end of the day, the name on the jersey is Cleveland. It doesn't matter if it's Browns, Indians, Cavaliers. That doesn't mean that baseball fans have to be football fans. That doesn't mean that you have to like things that you don't like. But I watch as they taunt and troll and tease each other. And just, it drives me nuts. Because it's like, instead of being what we should be, strong and proud and standing together, dealing with what's on the outside, that's bad enough. Instead, like I said, we cannibalize our own And it's just, it drives me absolutely crazy. It's Cleveland on Cleveland crime, Daddy, and it drives me nuts. Guys, we are in this together. It is all one love. And you know what I'm talking about. Anyways, talking about that, I'm done with that. I just want to make my point. I'm talking about the Browns, and I'll tell you what. Before we go, because I know I've got a break coming up, and then I've got Ryan Ruiz from The Inscriber joining me, and we'll start breaking down this game and the injuries. I've got a list of things. Matter of fact, let's get the first break out of the way here right now because Ryan's already ready to rock and roll. I'm going to give you the list of things because it is a preseason game. I'm not going to be the negative Nelly and tell you, hey, you can't pay attention to what we just saw, because we've seen a lot of hella good stuff out of these Browns, but it is the preseason. A lot of it is the mythical, magical things that you don't know if they're going to translate to the real world. But there are many things that will. There are many things that you can translate from what you saw. I'm going to give you my list of those. We're going to get an update on Jason Pinkston and the injuries. God, we're just beginning to dive into that. We have only just begun here on the Sports Fix. Ryan Ruiz from The Inscriber joins us. We're talking Browns football. We've still got Jeff Gorman from Browns 101. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. Your phone calls and more. We have only just begun. Tell somebody to listen because we're going to have a hell of a Friday here on the Sports Fix.
Searching for my first Super Bowl to be in. Some people claim that there's a curse on this town, but I feel like we're destined to win.
When it comes to Cleveland sports, we go from
"you can't touch this"
to
"I can't watch this."
So listen to The Fix. It's easier on the eyes.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt, it's a statement. GVArtwork.com.
I'm here again with Bill Opelich from Quick Lane at Valley Ford. Bill, what's new in the Quick Lane?
Battery rebate. Summer is just as hard on your battery as the winter. Quick Lane at Valley Ford will test your battery at no charge. And if you need a battery, we have a $25 mail-in rebate on the purchase of a tested tough Motorcraft battery starting at $79.95.
Wow, that's a great deal, Bill. Tell me more.
Our brake rebate is still on until June 30th. $25 per axle with the purchase and installation of Motorcraft brake pads, as well as offering a $50 rebate when you purchase $250 or more and charge your Ford genuine credit card. Some exclusions apply. As always, we have a low price guarantee on all our tires. If you find the same price within 30 days, we will refund the difference. Stop in, let us check your battery and top off your washer fluid.
Where do I have to go to get those great deals?
Come to Quick Lane at Valley Ford on Canal Road between Rockside and Granger in Valley View, just 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland. We're open at 7 every day. Open late Monday through Thursday till 9, Friday till 6, and Saturday till 2.
Go to quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Bike nights are back at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Rev up your hogs and head on down to Harry Buffalo North Olmsted every Monday night from 5:30 to 9:30. Enjoy $3 drinks and beers, $5 pizzas, and crazy wing specials for all bikers.
Woo-hoo!
Hot bikes, good friends, and great times are waiting for you. 4824 Great Northern Boulevard in North Olmsted.
Right outside Great Northern Mall.
Monday bike nights at Harry Buffalo. Proud sponsor of the Sports Fix. Harry Buffalo. Join the herd.
Incoming transmission. You got a message.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all week to join in on the fun. Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
They love friends. It's just a click away. Exclusive contests, trivia, tickets, and giveaways from the hottest sports show in town, the Sports Fix. Become a friend and follow the Sports Fix on Facebook today.
Message. Hey everybody, this is Jerry the King Lawler from WWE, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Now, back to the Sports Fix.
Yeah, you know what it is. Brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange. Yeah, you know what it is. Brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange.
Yeah.
You know what it is. Everything I do.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the sportsfix.net or however or wherever you're joining us. Thank you so much and welcome in. We are just getting rocking and rolling right now. Phone lines are shut down because we've got a couple of guests joining us, but don't worry. We're going to open them bad boys back up for you here before we wrap up the week. Talking about, as you hear the song in the background, we're talking about some Cleveland Browns football. Good, bad, and ugly, because I'm telling you, so many good things you can take out of that game, but the injuries just give you so much pause, because as I see in the chat room, you know, Bruce is arguing that you should just be able to play next man up, but, you know, I'll go into my thoughts on that a little bit. I do believe to a point you can replace certain injuries, but when you're still building the depth on the starter and the underneath level, boy, do them injuries hurt, and some of the ones last night, going to be tough. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you here. It is next man up. It's got to be next man up. Right now, the Browns actively working to fill those holes. You're listening to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you. We're getting back into it now. Going to the phone lines, I'm going to be joined by Ryan Ruiz. Ryan's been with us for a few weeks now. Of course, he writes for the Browns for the Inscriber magazine, and always like talking to Ryan here. And one of the first things, since I'm talking about those injuries, Ryan and I here, before we get into the game itself, let's talk about those injuries, because as you know, we've talked to Ryan, and you know, he's friends with Jason Pinkston. He's worked with him, done some interviews. I want to kind of see there, because I got a feeling that right now Jason Pinkston is definitely not feeling the love after all the work he did to come back and for him to be just one of the guys that went down last night. Let's go to the phone lines right now, start talking some Browns football. Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber. How you doing, my man? Welcome to the show.
J-Rock, how you doing? Beautiful, beautiful Friday.
You have got that right. How you doing today, my man?
I'm doing well. Man, what a game. If I know it's meaningless preseason football, but you know, if you don't want to pop Madden in and start playing today after seeing the sparks on offense, then there's something wrong with you if you're a Browns fan.
You know, absolutely. I mean, listen, my saying is a preseason win is better than a preseason loss, but there are also things that it doesn't matter if you win these games in 2 weeks, because these games never happened. These games don't count, and they never happened. While we can get excited about Jordan Cameron and Josh Gordon and all these things that we're seeing going forward here, you got to talk about the injuries, because last night, the Browns finally hit with the injuries we've talked about that these other teams have been facing. Browns have been pretty lucky. Montario Hardesty, Sean Laval, but they've been pretty lucky thus far. But last night, that luck definitely caught up to them. Your buddy Jason Pinkston, just one of the ones, he actually is one of the perhaps more optimistic prognoses of these injuries here. How's Jason Pinkston feeling today?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right about injuries. Jason had John Greco fall on him, and it's one of those plays where, you know, Jason's doing his job, and Greco got pushed by Nick Fairley and fell right on his leg. So I really feel for Jason. He worked his tail off. I've talked to him a handful of times, like you said, and this is even more crucial because Laval went down. So now you're missing two guards, not just one. So Jason worked his tail off, and to see that injury, I hope he can bounce back. I know Laval has a high ankle sprain, but if I know Jason, he'll work hard. He'll be in there every day rehabbing, and he'll be back on the field. But for right now, the guy out of Chadron State, Garrett Gilkey.
Yeah, he stepped in.
He was pressed into action yesterday, so with the first team.
Absolutely. You know, I was going to mention him because he was kind of pressed. He was not even used to practicing in that position. Did a good job of stepping in and at least filling the gap. And you know that the Browns are working the waiver wire when it comes to that. Since we're talking about the injuries, let's keep on that vein before we get to talking more about kind of the things that were involving in the game. Of course, the list goes on. Not just Jason Pinkston. Let's start right at the top of the draft last year. Barcavius Mingo. he goes out, and I was talking to you a little bit off the air. I have no confirmation of this, but for him to get a bruised lung from a helmet in the ribs, that leads me to believe that there may have been a cracked rib. There may be a reason. There may be more there to that, because it takes a hell of a hit to move the ribs without breaking or cracking them into the lung. It can happen, don't get me wrong, but I would hold concern there that there may be some rib damage as well. That's a serious deal. That doesn't mean he can't come back. Doesn't mean in a few weeks that he can't bounce back. But man, you never like to see that. He's hospitalized overnight. Not only him though, of course, the worst injury of the night, Deion Lewis. I almost feel bad because we've talked too much about Deion Lewis in the last few weeks. And of course, last night, I mean, you hate to see what happened to him. When the cart came out, I knew it was serious because, as we were talking about before, you don't put people on the cart for something that they're going to bounce back from tomorrow. Fractured fibula, spiral fracture, out an indefinite amount of time there. That really hurts because instantly a position of depth has now become a position where you perhaps need to find another running back because you've now got the issues with Montario Hardesty as well as Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the devastating look on Deion Lewis's face was heartbreaking as he was going to the locker room. That guy was all Berea so far. And what you were saying about Mingo, you know, there's stuff with us in the media that we don't know, so it could be a crack driven, you know, they're calling it a punctured lung or, you know, a bruised lung, but it's devastating to play the game that they played yesterday and lose the players that we lost.
Because truly, as we talk about with John McMullen and as we talk about with Dr. Football, some of the national guys that we talk to each and every week, the two things that are the most important things about the preseason is figuring out your things, your team, yourself, and not getting anybody injured or getting through with as little amount of body toll as possible. And it's not just those guys. Lewis, though, you are absolutely right about the look on his face as he was coming off there the field. He knew that it was definitely going to be something. Gary Barnidge, you know, a lot of people looking at him. Luckily, Jordan Cameron, we'll talk about him in a minute, stepped up, really, I think, grabbed a hold of that tight end position. But Barnidge with a sprained shoulder, and even Brandon Bogutay, who was supposed to kick for the entire game, ended up straining a groin, had to come out. Shane Graham relieved him for the second half.
Yeah. Bogutay looked good. I mean, he made a 43-yarder.
He made a 103-yarder, Daddy.
Yeah.
Off the tee.
You know,
that kickoff to the uprights.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, you know, another thing is Bogutay was getting an audition yesterday, which any which way you want to cut it, that was an audition for him. And for him to not be able to play the whole game, I mean, the Browns know what they have with Shane Graham, so you know, Bogutay going down too. Injuries. It's disheartening to talk about. I mean, meaningless preseason games are 2-0. You gotta like how the offensive defense both played. Travis Benjamin, another punt return. People are gonna forget real quick about Josh Cribbs.
Yeah, and that's meant with all respect to him. And you know what though, Travis Benjamin, since you brought him up, he very good at giving the credit for a lot of what he's doing and what he's learned to Josh Cribbs, to being able to watch Josh Cribbs. He said he took so many things over the months that he watched him with watching the ball come off the foot of the punter and the different angles that you take. So, you know, that's kind of a piece of Josh Cribbs living on through there with him. But like I'm looking forward to him, as I mentioned before, in the first 2 weeks of the season, perhaps seeing if he gets a little more work in at wide receiver too, because he's put a lot of work in there. But since you're bringing up what you liked about the game, let's get away from the injuries for a little bit, because that, like you said, is disheartening. There is a lot that you can take from this. You can't take the fact that the Browns are 2-0 as let's print Super Bowl tickets. I'll tell you what, I got a statistic for you right here. In 1982, the Washington Redskins started the season 0-4, and they won the Super Bowl. In 2008, the Detroit Lions started the season 4-0, and they went 0-16. So that's just saying that the preseason is a different beast of its own. But do not in any way take that as me saying that there's nothing that can come from this, because there are things that you can take from this that you will see. Josh Gordon, I'm going to start right there with him. I don't care if it's a preseason game, if it's a practice game, or if it's a regular season game. That catch over the shoulder that he made with one man hanging on to him was a superstar catch, the type of thing that you hope he can blossom into on a week-to-week basis. But that catch there, that's not a preseason catch. That catch would have happened no matter what season you were playing, no matter what game you were playing. So to me, that really makes me feel, hey, we got to deal with the first 2 weeks that he's suspended, but Josh Gordon has really started to emerge as perhaps a true stud wide receiver.
Absolutely. Josh Gordon, if you think back, J-Rock, we haven't had a prototype receiver, you know, since Braylon Edwards, and Josh Gordon is 10 times better than him as far as athleticism. That catch and that to be able to balance and also take a pass interference call on that, that was amazing. And I'll tell you what, you don't have him for the first two games, so the Browns better figure something out. Somebody better step up. Littles look really good. So somebody is going to have to become number one on September 8th against the Dolphins.
Well, you know what? I agree with you, but at the same point, I disagree with you as well, because not there's going to be opportunity for the wide receivers. But what I mean is they don't necessarily need to replace him, because I think what we saw last night out of Trent Richardson and the running game, I was very impressed. It was only 10 plays that he played, but I was very impressed just in the initial appearance of Trent Richardson. He looked good. He looked quicker than he did last year, but he took that shot going out of bounds from the dirtiest player in the NFL, Dominique Sue. And he got up, and then it was that one run, that 17-yard run where he hit a guy, spun off a guy, kept going. That is what those flashes are, what you expect to see out of a running back that you took as high as you took Trent Richardson. Last night, I was very, I guess want to say, hopeful about what I saw out of Trent Richardson and what that's going to do. We know how important running backs are in Norv Turner's offense. We already know that. So that gave me a lot of hope, saying, hey, that you're going to bounce off those guys in the regular season or in the preseason. So there, I think you can perhaps lean a lot more heavily on the running game, especially in those first two games. But I'm not as worried about wide receiver because of what we saw with Jordan Cameron last night. He was my pre-camp, the one player that I said was going to be the most benefited and the most gained by this change in the offense, with the exception of Brandon Whedon, was going to be Jordan Cameron. And I really was disappointed in him for the first few weeks of training camp because he wasn't grabbing that opportunity. He was dropping passes. He wasn't running good routes. He wasn't doing what his skill set says he should be able to do. And the other tight ends were kind of shining him a little bit there. But you know what? Last night, Jordan Cameron came to play. Those catches that he made last night are the same catches that can be made in the regular season. That really gives you hope that some of this will stick.
Yeah, absolutely. Jordan Cameron's chemistry with Whedon looked really good yesterday, just in those four catches. And you're seeing his basketball ups too. I'm just like you, J-Rock. I was high on Jordan Cameron ever since we drafted him in the fourth round of UST. And, you know, I thought he deserved to play more snaps last year, but Pat Shurmur's interesting way of thinking didn't put him on the field, and I didn't understand it. But now he's getting an opportunity. I've seen him in camp after practice, staying, working on the routes. I wrote an article earlier this week about things, small things to watch for. Jordan Cameron's going to have a year. I believe he's going to have a year. Norv Turner's offense thrives on a tight end. You have to have a tight end.
Absolutely.
To play in Norv Turner's offense. And to see the chemistry with Whedon and Cameron was very, very nice to see.
And again, I mean, the tight end can be a quarterback's favorite, you know, security blanket. We haven't had a dependable, you know, we've had camp sensations. We've had Evan Moore the last few years. I mean, it's been since the pre-injury, Kellen Winslow, that we've had a good stud, you know, tight end. I'm really hoping that what we saw last night carries forward, and I think it will. I think maybe that switch got flicked, and he might have figured it out here on the NFL level. You bring up Wheaton. I want to talk about him a little bit too, because he's the one that I am definitely hopefully optimistic with what I've seen. But he's the one that, to me, you can't take everything at face value. And I'm not going to be, I'm not trying to be a hater. You guys know that I didn't agree with the drafting of Brandon Wheaton, and I didn't agree with a lot of the things that the Browns have done as far as Brandon Wheaton in the quarterback position. I still want to see what Brandon Wheaton does when the defenses are actually game planning for what the Browns are doing. I want to see him still look like he's doing now, because I'm just going to say it, Jake Delhomme. I'll throw that out there. In 2010, he had a flawless preseason. He was the preseason MVP of the Browns and probably of the entire NFL. And 2 weeks later, he was man without a country. And we all know how that happens. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to Wheaton, but I don't expect him to go out here and throw 80%, complete 80% of his passes in every game. It's just not realistic. And, you know, that's something that I just want to stress, but he's more decisive. He's getting the team out of the huddle faster. He's making better throws. That throw to Gordon was a big league throw. He arced that thing over where only Gordon could get it. Same with the touchdown to Jordan Cameron. Now, the thing that this is where I say I want to see in the regular season, that second touchdown to Jordan Cameron, that was a defensive breakdown. There's no way in the world Jordan Cameron should be standing there that wide open. Those are the things that make me go, okay, these are preseason things. Let's see if these carry over into the next season.
Yeah.
The real season, you know?
You know, the other thing is when he found Cameron on the 21-yarder, he went up and got – that was a great throw, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Like that we need to see out of Wheaton.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to see it when the defenses are game planning, when the blitzes are more exotic, when the coverages are disguised. Because right now, even Chud, first thing he said in his press conference after the game was both teams played very basic football. That's all I'm saying. And quarterbacks quarterbacks traditionally have a statistical advantage and a positive statistical line in preseasons. That's why when a quarterback has a really bad preseason, that's not the best sign, because those defenses are kind of they're not worried about the quarterback. As John McMullen said Monday, those teams in the preseason aren't playing against the other team. They're playing against themselves and the things that they're trying to do. They're not really, the other team is just live bodies in front of you.
Well, you're also playing against guys that are going to be bagging groceries in 3 weeks. So.
Absolutely. Well, that's why the second half, of course, you can just not take at all, you know. But then again, look at what it does. That's where you lose guys. That's where you end up with the injuries piling up. I mean, again, to me, the preseason, while I enjoy the enthusiasm that comes with it, I don't enjoy so many parts of it. I don't like the fact that not just the Browns, but around the league, marquee players. I don't like the fact that players around the league are dropping in games that don't count. But I also don't like the NFL policy. I hate the fact that they charge full price for these games. I hate the fact that the season ticket holders have to buy the preseason games. Things like that bother me about the NFL preseason. It's the biggest, glitziest ripoff in all of sports as far as I'm concerned. But you hate to see it. It's almost where, you know, you would be willing to give Roger Goodell the two extra regular season games just to eliminate the preseason. So at least if guys are going to get hurt, they get hurt in games that count.
Yeah, it needs to be cut. It needs to be cut down to two or three games. I think that's plenty, especially with mini camps now and OTAs and training camp. There's a reason that the Lions didn't start Megatron yesterday.
Absolutely.
Jason Pinkston, Deion Lewis, Barkevious Mingo, there's your reason. That's why the Lions know what they have. And people may disagree with me, but now you shut down Trent Richardson. You got his timing with them. He had a couple good runs. You know, he looks fluid. He looks faster. Now you got to shut him down. Don't let him play in three and four.
Now, Vashon in the chat room's got a good point to what we're talking about. He disagrees. And we've talked over the last week or two when we've talked about camp about how, of course, it's important for the guys at the bottom of the roster. But there has to be ways. There has to be a happy medium there somewhere. I don't know. Perhaps controlled scrimmages. I don't know what you could do. I know it's all practice. I guess that's not a good example. I'm thinking out loud here, but there's got to be a happy medium there. But anyways, I could see two preseason games. I think that would be a good cut down. One home, one away, one full dress rehearsal, and one game where you keep everybody safe and you really decide those backups in a game situation. Perhaps that's not feasible, and perhaps the owners have no interest in giving up the gate from two preseason games. I couldn't tell you either way. But regardless, the Browns definitely, unfortunately, hit by the bug that the other teams have been struck with. Last thing I want to talk to you about, Ryan, before I let you go here, the defense is the other thing that I think you can take away some of what you've seen here on defense. I think the front seven there's looked very stout. I really want to see what happens when they hit the regular season as far as stopping the run. But, I mean, it's only preseason, but in three quarters, the first team defense has only allowed 5 first downs, 3 points. I'm very impressed so far with the aggressiveness and the speed, I think, of the Browns' first team defense.
That's what Orton wanted. Orton wanted speed, and he got him, and that's why losing Mingle is going to kind of hurt here. But absolutely, defense, the first 3 drives of the Lions, I think they went 3 and out. So I like what I see out of DeQuell. I mean, DeQuell can play in a 4-3 or a 3-4, and he does the same thing. He'll get you 100 plus solo tackles, and he's a leader. Phil Taylor, man, he looks really good, J-Rock. He looks more in shape. He looks like he is more comfortable playing in that nose tackle like he did at Baylor. I like what I saw out of Chris Owens yesterday, and I was really worried. Who's going to start on the opposite side of Joe Hayden? Well, there's your answer. It's Chris Owens, because he played pretty well.
And you know what? You bring up that, you know, it harkens back to one of the biggest differences, but what you just said nails the difference between the last regime and this regime. The last regime was insistent, as I say, in proving that they were smarter than everybody else, trying to put square pegs into round holes, whereas this regime just seems to use a little more common sense. They look at a guy and they go, I think you should play there. Are you more comfortable there? You're better there? Well, then we're going to play you there. You know what I'm saying? Common sense.
Yeah.
That's good coaching.
Common sense. I 100% agree with you. There's a reason why Brandon Whedon looks better. There's a reason why he's in the shotgun better or more. You know, there's a reason to all of this. And like you said, you play to the player's strengths. You don't put round pegs in square holes. And that's what Shermer did last year. And it really upset a lot of people, including myself.
In and out of the organization, trust me, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I say you're not going to see the Browns go out there. Listen, their first team right now is up 34-3 in the preseason. So you're not going to do that in the regular season, but they're going to be much improved, and you can see that the baseline now going forward is going to be much higher. I'm excited. You should be excited. I just don't want – let's just wait until they play some real good. They do this against Miami and we can start talking some business. But regardless, the things we've all just talked about and mentioned are real things that you can take out of this game that will still go forward into the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Ryan, before we let you go, I got a quick question, man. Tell me about your book. How's it going? First week on the shelves, Black Cadillac.
Hey, the book's doing good. The first week of sales, we got 50 sold. I appreciate the guys like Coach McKee promoting like he has been. It's still available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. I also have my own website. It's theblackcadillac.com. It's a book that really hits home. So if you are in for a good end of summer read, you know, check it out.
There you go. Ryan Ruiz, Black Cadillac. Check it out. TheBlackCadillac.com. Check him out on Amazon. Ryan, good luck writing this week here for the Inscriber. Looking forward to reading your articles, and we will have you here next week on the show. Next week, we'll be previewing a Browns game instead of breaking it down.
Yes. Yeah, we have the Colts on Saturday at Lucas Oil Stadium. So we'll break that down and see what Andrew Luck had what, a couple of running touchdowns against us last year, and now you're going to see a completely different front. So we'll see what Andrew Luck does on Saturday.
Absolutely. All right, my man, Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber. We'll catch up with him next Friday right here on the Sports Fix. Don't go away, Browns fans. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're still talking Browns football. Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com is going to join us. We'll talk a little more about the X's and O's of last night's game, what he takes away from last night's game, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about some Indians baseball, too. Plus, don't forget, Tribe fans, Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com, still to come. Your phone calls and more. Don't go anywhere. We've only just begun. You're listening to The Sports Fix, Daddy, on thesportsfix.net.
Okay, I'm going on
your phone. Out on the field, you know them horns, helmets shining. I'm in brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange.
Swear to God, I will never change these colors in my blood. Ice cold December morning, covered in mud. From the backyard ball game to Cleveland Brown Stadium.
The Sports Fix, your choice for intelligent talk.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Intelligent talk.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
These guys must be on the wrong station.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
The Sports Fix. It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Tri-State Quality Builders. Has severe weather damaged your home? Get a quote today at TriStateQualityBuilders.com.
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Whether it's their Cleveland That I Love design, or perhaps it's the Superman Birthplace of a Hero line of team-themed designs, whether you're a fan of the Indians or Browns, the Lake Erie Monsters, or the CSU Vikings, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or just Cleveland in general, GV Art Art and Design has a logo, design, or style for you. Sports Fix listeners, as a special treat, every time you make a purchase from GV Art and Design, use the sales code FIX and save 10% on your total purchase. Log on right now to GVArtwork.com, check out all of their fantastic designs,
and don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow GVArtwork.com on Facebook, and remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement. Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
I'm Tyler Zeller from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Newsbreak. Good morning, I'm Bob Picozzi. He's been accused of cheating and lying, and now Alex Rodriguez is being called a snitch. A source tells ESPN's Outside the Lines that Major League Baseball has evidence that Rodriguez obtained documents from Biogenesis, a key factor in the decision to suspend him for 211 games. 60 Minutes is reporting that members of A-Rod's inner circle sent to Yahoo Sports unredacted Biogenesis documents containing the names of Ryan Braun and Yankees teammate Francisco Cervelli. Rodriguez's lawyer is denying. The Panthers' offense took a step backwards last night. Carolina held without a touchdown in a 14-9 preseason loss to Philadelphia. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton, 8 for 17 for 112 yards.
On my part, I feel like I could, you know, put the offense in a better situation with a couple throws I feel that got away from me, sailed on me a little bit. All in all, I think we moved the ball, executed relatively well. We can do better, and we will do better as this preseason progresses.
The Panthers were held to 74 yards rushing. An MRI reveals Cowboys cornerback Morris Claiborne has no structural damage in his knee. He won't play tomorrow night against Arizona.
Brought to you by the Johnsonville Bratender. Win $5,000 and a year's supply of brats by belting out your version of Johnsonville's summer anthem, Don't Pierce the Brat. Check out Johnsonville's grilling Facebook page now for details. Johnsonville Brats, served with pride since 1945.
You're listening to the Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix here on thesportsfix.net. J-Rock with you. We're talking Browns football. Don't forget, still to come, Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. We're going to talk some Indians baseball here in a little bit. Preview the Oakland A's series, which kicks off at 10 o'clock tonight. In the chat room, Bruce says some Browns fans were telling him last night about the curse of Jim Brown. I've never heard of the curse of Jim Brown. I have heard of a curse of Paul Brown. I've heard of Rocky Colavito. Never heard about the curse of Jim Brown. What is the curse of Jim Brown? I mean, he left, he made movies, he got rich, he's back, he's part of the team. So theoretically, if there was a curse of Jim Brown, wouldn't it have been lifted when he became a member of the team? I'm just saying. Anyways, welcome back to the Sports Fix. Getting ready to go to the phone lines here, continue talking about some Cleveland Browns football from last night. Not so much the 24-6 victory over the Detroit Lions. They did, however, they got the barge. That boat, Daddy, it stays in Cleveland. No offense, I told you guys yesterday, I think that's the ugliest trophy in all of sports. But they do have the barge. It has come back to Cleveland. We have the Great Lakes. So, hey, if anything else, we got our Great Lakes Classic trophy. And that's about the best you could take out of it, especially with the injuries. But as we were talking before the break, a lot of good things you can see, and a lot of the comments coming in on the chat room page and on our Facebook page. Yes, Michael Barnes, it is a trophy, but it is also an ugly, ugly trophy. Anyways, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thesportsfix, the comments coming in here talking about Deion Lewis going down. I've had several comments say, what do you think the Browns are going to do as far as looking for somebody on the waiver wire or looking for somebody to come in and replace Deion Lewis as well as Montario Hardesty? Because now perhaps a position that we had talked about, a position of depth, has now become perhaps a position of weakness. Mike Tackett says, perhaps we bring in Michael Turner and or Beanie Wells on our Facebook page. He says, also, if we have kicker issues, the Dolphins released Carpenter the other day. Well, I think, you know, Bogota, if he can't go through, Graham's going to be the backup and he's going to end up being the quarterback. But, you know, and absolutely, Mike has a good point. This is kind of goes with the next man up, is where there's injury, there's also opportunity. Somebody is going to take advantage of that. I'm going to take advantage of going back to the phone lines right now and talking to my man, Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, J.R. Great to be here. There's a lot to like about yesterday. I know you were talking at the top of the show about how much can we be excited about the team doing well in the preseason. I think the preseason is kind of one of those it depends things. I think when a team plays poorly in the preseason, it doesn't mean that much because that's why the games don't count. You've got time to work out the kinks, to stop committing penalties, to stop turning the ball over, and things can get better once the games start to count. But I think if you have a situation like the Browns playing so well, executing so well, holding on to the ball, I think if you're doing that in the first couple preseason games, I think that's something you can carry over to the regular season, just getting in the habit of not making mistakes.
Well, absolutely. I think, as I've said, we can see the things. There's, you know, I always say you don't look at the statistics, look at the actual plays, you know, because there are things that they're doing now that are definitely they're still going to be doing in the preseason. The penalties to me and the turnovers are two of the biggest ones. If you're not committing penalties in the preseason, most likely you're going to be a pretty disciplined team in the regular season unless you lose a lot of starters to injury, you start to have a lot of continuity issues, and you start to have backups of people that aren't used to playing with each other. If you ever notice in Brown seasons in the past, once you start getting the backups on the offensive line, that's where you get more of the false start penalties because guys just aren't used to working together. But I think if you can avoid that and if you can keep some continuity, that is going to carry over into the regular season. Not putting the ball on the ground is something that I'm liking to see about this team here. Not turning the ball over. Even Brandon Whedon, the thing I'll give him is at least in the preseason games, he's not doing it in training camp. In training camp, he's still forcing the issue, but he has shown in some preseason games, he'll throw the ball away this year where he might have tried to force the issue last year.
Yeah, we're seeing some good positive trends. And I also wanted to address what the chat room people were talking about losing Deion Lewis, which really does have to hurt, but I don't think they necessarily have to go out and get somebody, because if you look at the people you still have there, you've got Trent Richardson, you've got Brandon Jackson. We're going to probably see a lot of Chris Ogbonnaya from tailback. Of course, he can also play fullback. And this is also very good news for Owen Morisic as far as being able to make the team.
No,
and
no, no. Shut, stop. 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 Don't say that name again on this show. Owen Morisic has no place on the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, I didn't know we were
on
this show.
It's not anti. Come on. Last year, the guy dropped every single pass that was thrown to him out of the backfield. He wasn't in the right position on a lot of plays. To me, Owen Morisic is a bust as a draft pick, and I would much rather go forward with Chris Ogbonnaya as the fullback than Owen Morisic. Brad Smelly over Owen Morisic.
Maybe we'll just have to call him He Who Must Not Be Named. He'll be the Voldemort of the show.
I just don't think there's a spot on this roster for him. If there's room for Owen Morisic, then we haven't been improved as much as people think.
But he might make the team by default just because he's healthy. But I also love the way Jason Campbell played. He just really looked like he could be a starter out there. And if Whedon wasn't doing so well, he would obviously make a strong case. I just think that the good news about Campbell is that if something happens to Whedon, if he gets hurt, I think that the Browns can win with Jason Campbell in there. He may not be like a Tom Brady or anything, but he can keep your team competitive, and he can keep your team. He's not going to sink you. I think he gives you a chance to win if you have to play Jason Campbell. So that's another encouraging thing.
Yeah, the thing about Jason Campbell is he's given exactly as advertised. Vishon, perfect comment. Steady and reliable in the chat room. He's been exactly as advertised. Strong, accurate arm, nice tight spirals. He can run and tuck the ball down and run if he needs to. So he's definitely been as advertised. And he's what I've called all along. He's a nice safety blanket insurance policy for Joe Banner, for Rob Chudzinski, for the Cleveland Browns offense.
Right, and at this point in his career, you know pretty much what you're getting. He's not going to dramatically improve in his eighth season in the league. But another thing that we saw last night that I think can carry over into the regular season, and which is just really a dramatic improvement over last season, is just the way the defense looks as far as how they attack the offense. You see them getting up on the line, getting ready to blitz, throwing the offense into a tizzy. And in the past, we've seen the team be a lot more laid back, a lot more reacting to what's the offense going to do. Now the defense is stepping up and saying, what are you going to do when we get in your face from all directions? I think that's a great trend, and I would love to see that happen in the regular season. Just the overall character of the defense as an attacking defense.
You know what? You made a perfect point there. Good comment that I think I would apply to both sides of the ball. That's one thing that I like, too. Early on, still only 2 weeks into the preseason, but the offense and the defense of the Browns have been attacking, they haven't been reacting. We're used to seeing Browns teams, like you said, that react to the other team. This Browns team is being proactive. That speaks to the type of coordinators and the type of game that they play on both sides of the ball. So that's the other thing that I like of what we've seen.
And another thing, it was just great to see, even though it didn't count, to see Travis Benjamin bring another punt return back two in two games. Of course, he can absolutely fly. I think he's going to definitely do that two or three times during the regular season and enough that they're going to count and not be brought back on penalties. So I think that's definitely something where you go from cribs and you don't have a fallow period where you're waiting for somebody to take his place. You got someone who can just light it up from the punt return. That can, of course, turn around an entire game the way it did last week.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, Jeff, because we're getting already, it's already 1 o'clock, man. Wait till the regular season starts. I might have to go 3 hours on the Mondays after Browns games just to talk about it. But while I've got you here, because I want to talk a little bit to you about the Indians as well, are your final takeaways here going forward as far as what you've taken out of this and what you're looking to see next week, week three, the dress rehearsal week, as they call it, against the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, I think they have to keep things going, and obviously the thing they most have to do is just stay healthy. And if that means only keeping Trent Richardson in for as long as they did last night, that's fine. We all just want to put him in bubble wrap until the opener. But I think that if they can just keep doing what they're doing, just building on and just coming out with a consistent performance. Because when you think about the last few years, the Browns, they would put together a good game, and they're like, yes, this is what they can do. And then they absolutely stink out the joy the next week, and they're like, where did that go? So just establish a consistent level of winning and executing and not absolutely falling apart. I think that if they can just keep building on that, then, you know, you can sort of skate through that fourth preseason game, just keep everybody healthy and rested, and then you're ready to go.
Absolutely. I think I agree with what Ryan said earlier, too. I want to see a tiny bit out of Trent Richardson, and then I want you to put these guys on the shelf and just keep them healthy until we start the regular season and Miami comes to town. All right, you also write for Browns101.com, and we didn't get a chance to catch up with you earlier in the week, so I thought the end of our little chat here would be the perfect way to segue into that. Indians getting ready to, in my opinion, have a very important next few series of games, because for September to continue to be meaningful with that nice, soft schedule, for that to be meaningful, you got to get through the next few series. Tonight, they head on the road here to take on Oakland, but what are your thoughts this week? Kind of an up-and-down week here for the Indians, but they did at least pull it together in the last few games of that Twin Series.
That's right, and it's not only great that they won, it was how they won. They fell behind 4-0, 5-0 in both of those games, and they didn't give up. And that's what we've really seen throughout the entire season from them, that they just don't give up, they keep battling, and they were able to turn it around. Of course, that 12-inning game, it was ugly, it was tough, it was a battle, but they came out on top. And that gives them, and that's the way this whole season's been from them. It's hard to go through a six-game losing streak where you're going up against your biggest challenger, the team that you really have to make a statement against, and they completely blow you out of your own building four times. So the Indians coming up against, you know, Oakland, because they got to play the Tigers three more times, and this is going to be important to they're going to be very well rested, because they're going to go from Wednesday afternoon to late Friday night. They're going to get their bullpen is going to be all rested, and they're going to get to reset the starting rotation with Masterson and then Ubaldo and then Kazmir going up against Bartolo Colon on Sunday.
In just a few minutes, Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWin.com, he's going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit more specifically about this series, but I believe you're absolutely right, and it was a chance for them to have a, you know, put that bad series against Detroit behind them. They struggled with the Angels. I truly think that that series with Detroit set them back a week and they needed to get out of it. But we're going to see, because Jonathan Knight had a good point yesterday. The Indians won 2 out of 3 in this last series and didn't look good doing it. So you want to see how that goes forward. Jeff, we've got to let you go. I know you've got to run. I hear you got a whole lot going on there. We'll get up with you next week. We'll see how the Indians did against Oakland, and we'll catch up with you next Friday. We'll talk a little bit about the Browns as they head into Lucas Oil Stadium there and take on the Indianapolis Colts.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, J-Rock.
Awesome. Jeff Gorman, you can check him out on Twitter, at Jeff D. Gorman, at Browns101, and at Indians101, as well as on BrownsandIndians101.com. Jeff Gorman with us every Tuesday and Thursday. We're going to take a break, but the show keeps rolling. Don't go anywhere, Daddy. When we come back, we're going to talk some more Indians baseball. We're going to preview this series here that begins with the Oakland A's, and I'm kind of curious to talk to Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com, not just about the Indians in Oakland here. We got some replay expansion going on by the Major League Baseball. I want to get Mike's opinion on all of that. I want to groove, Daddy. Get funky like a monkey. It's only 1 o'clock. Let's finish strong. Last 30 minutes of power. Matter of fact, go tell somebody else to tune in and listen right now. Tell them they're just getting rolling on the Sports Fix. Don't go anywhere. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com coming up next.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Incoming transmission. You got a message.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all week to join in on the fun. Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
They love friends. It's just a click away. Exclusive contests, trivia, tickets, and giveaways from the hottest sports show in town, The Sports Fix. Become a friend and follow The Sports Fix on Facebook today.
Message.
Joe, thanks for working late last week. Hey, did you guys get hit by that nasty storm over the weekend? The news said it was hailing golf balls right in your area.
We sure did, and it was bad. It tore holes in the roof and tore down the drainage system, too. It did about $10,000 in damage.
Wow. Well, at least you and Susie have homeowners insurance.
Yeah, right. We do. But they're claiming improper coverage and say it has to come out of my pocket. I know my policy is supposed to cover it, but they say it's final. I don't have that kind of money.
My in-laws had the same problem last year when their house flooded. Insurance didn't want to pay out, but they worked with Tri-State Quality Builders, who not only made the repairs, but helped them with their insurance paperwork and got the denied claim accepted.
Really? Who's this again?
Tri-State Quality Builders. They are the home damage repair experts throughout Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. They're with you from step one, assisting policyholders in filing their claims and getting denied claims accepted. They have a 91% success rate in making sure their clients don't come out of pocket one red cent. The best part for my in-laws is Tri-State Quality Builders stuck by their side and guided them through the entire process, making it far less scary. Plus, they're family-owned and in business for over 60 years, so you know you're getting dealt with personally and honestly.
Tri-State Quality Builders sounds exactly like who I need to call. Boy, my wife's going to be glad I talked to you.
Call today and find out how Tri-State Quality Builders can help you recover from catastrophic home damage caused by floods, fire, wind, hail, and more. Cut through all the insurance red tape, keeping your money in your pocket. Call 888-308-3102 or log on to their website, tristatequalitybuilders.com.
Hey, Cleveland, this is Daniel Booby Gibson of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Just kick a little something for them cars that be bumping.
Yeah, right, but we need a beat that they can front to. Oh, that'll work. Be funky. You know what I'm saying? Cars ride wild with the booming system. Cars ride wild. Cars ride wild with the booming system. Funky. Cars ride wild. All the cars out there and all the brothers.
Funky. LL Cool J, you tell him. He went from walking like a panther to CSI, baby. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. We are rocking and rolling. Still got about 25 minutes left to go. I'm going to open up the phone lines in the next segment, get in the last few phone calls here. I want to thank Jeff Gorman, Ryan Ruiz for joining us. I want to thank all the comments in the chat room, all the Facebook comments and tweets so far. Keep them coming in. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE. Going to the phone lines this time. We switched things up a little bit. I was organizing the show today. I texted Mike Brandenberry. I said, let's swerve everybody. Let's bring you on later in the show. He's always with me earlier, 12:35. He's coming 105, Daddy. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. Welcome back to the show, my man. How you doing this week?
I'm doing good. You guys talking any Browns today, or that's probably no big deal, huh?
No. You know, I mean, just like, you know, a few minutes of it. I can't believe I spent the whole first hour, but you know why? It's because...
Just a little blip on the radar.
Slight bit of social importance. Just a little bit. Just a little bit in Cleveland the day after a Browns game, let alone a Browns victory. So, but hey, you know what? It's all good, and it works out. It works out because, you know what, the sports gods were looking out for Cleveland sports fans because the Tribe had the night off. So the Browns can have their spotlight today, and the Indians could take a break, and then, boom, get ready to get back at it.
Absolutely, and, hey, they deserve it. They played well. They looked good the last two exhibition games. Hopefully it continues.
Absolutely. See, there you go. We're even giving you Browns feedback from Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com.
What can I say? I don't want to get out of my lane here or anything. I'll stay in my lane. But yeah, I think the Browns, you know, they played a lot of games last year where I felt like they got outcoached in the last 5 minutes. And you know, I think it's very fair to believe that this is a much better coaching staff. And, you know, they just have that look on the field, the same players, but a whole new feel, kind of the same as the Indians. And that, you know, a new regime, a new manager, a new guy in charge, and a new attitude just kind of seems to have a whole new vibe. And that's a good thing. We need a good new vibe in this town.
Absolutely, and it's across the board, all three teams. I've talked about that. I'm not just being a homer when I say I feel there's a positive upswing coming, Cavs, Indians, and Browns, and it does all start at the top. All three teams have, I think, solid coaching staffs in place and solid regimes. For the first time, they all have a plan that actually has a chance of success, and we're seeing that with the Tribe. Before we get into the Indians, though, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts yesterday? Big announcement, Bud Selig, kind of historic announcement that they're really going to renovate and overhaul the replay procedures here, make it a lot more like football, where the managers will now get a challenge and really change the way Major League Baseball approaches instant replay.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. There were rumors of this at the All-Star break, and Joe Torre even made mention, I think, at the All-Star game that they were exploring some expanded replay possibilities. And to be honest, Jerry, I don't see how they couldn't have. I mean, I think we talk about the umpiring quite a bit in regards to the Indians, but I mean, if you're active on social media at all, if you follow, you know, sites or writers from around the country, this isn't just a freak coincidence of the Indians suffering from some bad calls or some bad calls in Indians games. I mean, I think it affects everyone. And as our technology has got better, as our, you know, we're into the HD world and we can roll things back and see instant replay in a matter of seconds. I mean, I really feel like at this point, if Major League Baseball doesn't embrace this type of thing, I mean, they're really looking at an opportunity for themselves to have egg on their face when, you know, a postseason game is affected and you have a different World Series champion because of a blown call.
And I'll tell you what, the breakdown, for those of you that haven't heard, the way they've put this together, first off, the replays, if I'm correct about this, they're going to be determined by a crew at MLB headquarters, but coaches will get one challenge in the first six innings, two after the seventh, and just like in football, they don't carry over, but if you're successful in your challenge, then you retain it and you're able to use it again. So theoretically, if every time you challenge a call, you're right, you have an unlimited amount of challenges. But of course, that's not the way it works out. But that's the way it goes. I mean, what are your thoughts about like that way, the actual nuts and bolts of how they decided to do it?
I think it's perfect. And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't there a point in the NFL where they were still limited on their challenges, even if
yes.
they were correct? And to
yeah,
me, I always
correct,
thought that was foolish.
Two.
So you have proven the officials to be incorrect two or three times, basically pointing out that this is a subpar crew, or at least a crew having a bad day, but now you're out of challenges, so you can't correct their next mistake. I mean, that never made any sense to me. So, I mean, I like that Major League Baseball is, as long as you're successful, you know, that you can retain your challenges and keep using them. And, you know, I don't know exactly, you know, the ins and outs and how it's going to be done, but I would assume, man, the way we use technology and as fast as TVs, get replays loaded back up. I mean, if you're a manager, I mean, how do you miss very many challenges in a Major League Baseball game? I mean, how many calls have you seen this year that are blatantly wrong and that you see on the first time of a replay? I mean, I just think it will take you 30 seconds as a manager to see one replay
yep.
and be able to challenge that. I mean, if that, I don't know. I just don't see how a manager is going to miss a ton of challenges.
You know what? The thing, too, it just changes the dynamic of things, because for all those years, we've had video of the managers that charge to the umpires and they argue, they kick the dirt and all that, and you can't get a call overturned, you can't get anything changed, you know what I'm saying? But now, think about that. At the end of the game, you know, at the end of that no-hitter, you know, when the call was blown, 27th out, the perfect game with the Tigers last year. Remember, see, now Jim Leland can throw the flag, so to say. They could go to the replay, and that could get overturned. It really does change the dynamic a lot between manager and umpire as well.
Yeah, and I think we're headed to this already without instant replay. But, you know, I've heard more umpires' names this year than I feel like I've heard in my entire life. And that happens a lot in the NFL. I mean, you know, if you have a good crew on Sunday working your team's game, you know, before the game starts, because we're familiar with these people. And I don't feel like that was really the case until the last couple years. And I think, you know, the improvement in technology and instant replays and being able to see all of the mistakes as clearly as we can now, I think that that has kind of, you know, brought the umpires into the light and part of the game, really, or more part of the game than what they really need to be. And I agree with you. I think it really changes the dynamic. It probably changes some strategy. You know, do you use a challenge when it's 5-1? Probably not. You sit on it if you have one for the first six innings and in hopes that, you know, in case the game gets closer, maybe that critical call that, you know, allows two runs to score, you can wipe away and maybe keep that lead. Or, you know, or do you take a gamble when you're behind because it could lead to a couple runs? I mean, I do think that that's a different dynamic for sure.
But at the same time, if you're right about it and you get and you're able to keep it, if you're right, shouldn't that prevent you from hesitating on a challenge? If you know you're right, that should make you confident to pull the trigger instead of considering whether you should or not.
I mean, I would think, you know, if you're behind, kind of the same way to an approach on the base paths, you know, you don't want to steal bases when you're down four runs. You know, maybe you don't risk a challenge in the second inning if you're down four runs because you're hoping to string together a couple hits and maybe use it in a situation in the fifth or sixth inning when hopefully you're back in the game. I mean, that's my only thought. But,
and you know what I see? I'll be honest,
I wonder how many umpires will kind of start more than they are now to be outed for not being good at their job. And,
yes,
you know, if you, I think players are very, very hesitant to speak out against umpires. They have to work with them. I think it's not a secret that they carry some personal vendettas against players from time to time. And I think it will become very clear who the good umpires are and who they aren't. And kind of going with what I said about umpires becoming a little bit more popular than what they were in years past, you know, I think we're going to all get to see just how bad C.V. Buckner really is.
But you're right, because now there will be statistics, like official statistics with it, because you'll be able to see the number of overturned calls every different umpire has. So it'll make it, like you said, a lot more of a scarlet letter. If everybody's on average, then there's no big deal. But you'll be able to see, like you said, those guys that are way above the skew and way above the average. And I think you're right. It could lead to better officiating across the board because you don't want to have your calls challenged. You don't want, and I'm willing to bet that that also becomes a part of Major League Baseball's criteria as they rate and judge these umpires in every offseason the way that they do. I'm sure that the challenge system will be a part of that too. I'll talk to you. We've got lots of time to talk more about that. I am very intrigued in that because it really is a milestone changing of the fabric of the basic game. I mean, baseball doesn't like change, and baseball doesn't like to change traditions. It took a lot for them to finally break that down. But let's talk about the Indians a little bit. Actually, an ex-Indian, Mark Reynolds. We know that he was released from the Indians, and they were thinking of sending him to AAA and ended up cutting him loose instead. Picked up pretty quickly yesterday with the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I see where you're going there. But, the Yankees, they're definitely good at collecting the Indians' leftovers. You know, for only the last 50 years have the Indians picked up the Yankees' leftovers and have the Indians fed them our young talent. So, you know, every 50 years, I guess we get a chuckle at their expense when they have Travis Hafner and now Mark Reynolds. So, you know, half a century we get Trump on them.
Somebody yesterday left a comment on one of the posts and said, good, maybe they can put Reynolds and Hafner together and get one whole player.
That's a lot of wind there. I hope they need some turbine energy like what they had at Progressive Field last year with the CSU kid. They might want to see if they can pick that up too and maybe put that on the top of Yankee Stadium if they're going to put those two in the lineup together. But yeah, I mean,
they've got like nine former Indians, legit. All joking aside, they've got like nine of last year's or this year's or last year's Indians on that team right now.
They have nine?
I believe that was the number on the list. Now I have to pull up the list, but now I'm not saying that they're all playing.
That seems high. If they are, I think Joe Girardi ought to be manager of the year because he's doing a lot better job with them.
Not all playing, and they're not all at the major league level, but there's nine total, I believe, between the majors and AAA.
They do have,
They do have Brent Lillibridge, and they do have David Hoff.
Jason Nix.
Plus, good old Jason Nix. He wasn't on the team last year. He was a couple years ago, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Okay, maybe it's within the span of the last few years, but that's the point. They've definitely collected a few of them, you know?
Sure, that's punishment enough. I mean, it doesn't have to be restricted to just last year.
Oh, man, Mike Brandenberry, love talking to you. That's just J-Rock with you. We are listening to the Sports Fix. We're talking to Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. They didn't win last night because they didn't play last night. They do play tonight. They start a series, in my opinion, an important series with Oakland on the road. Last time they played Oakland, they swept them in a four-game series. Different Oakland team coming in a little bit hotter. Both teams fighting for playoff position. This is going to be a good test for the Indians.
Yeah, I think so, and I think this is, as the way the last couple weeks have gone, you know, this town was pretty amped up for the Tigers series, and I know there's not the same, I guess, aura around this series, but at this point, I really feel like it's nearly as big because Oakland and Texas are kind of battling each other and the wild card at the same time, and, you know, this is a team that's definitely in the wild card race with the Indians, and they're now 3.5 back in the wild card. And, you know, this is a big weekend to try and make some ground in that race, I think. You know, this is a situation where they can kind of pull Oakland down while pushing themselves up at the same time. So I definitely think it's a big series, and I think it also sits as one where if they don't play well, you know, they can play themselves from 3.5 to, you know, 5.5 back pretty quickly, and then I think we're starting to talk about needing some serious help and needing a big run in order to make something happen by that point. And then you're looking at maybe 5.5 games with 5 weeks to go. So, you know, I think it is a real big series, and you know, they've shown some signs of life. Definitely, I mean, you gotta like the way that they battled back in the season or in the last game of the Twin series. And, you know, kind of that resilient, wouldn't say no type of attitude. And, you know, they need to find a way. I would say they need to get 2 out of 3 this weekend for sure.
And it is possible because even though Oakland is much improved and they've righted their ship now, they're right in the battle. I believe they're, 68-52. But they've just lost 2 straight, 6 of the last 9. So they've got, you know, they've definitely coming in a little bit cooler than they were previous to the last 10 days. Indians, other way around, they had the bad streak. Now, hopefully, they've righted themselves with 3 of the last 4. So, it'll be interesting to see if they can rise to that challenge. Because, like you said, they swept the first series. So, they should have confidence heading out there. But these are those series where you can play yourself right out of meaningful baseball down the road. Which, it's a drum that I just keep beating because it's completely true. You have to at least tread water. And as you said, I think do more than that here in this series. Masterson on the mound tonight. I mean, you really need to start off, I think, with a victory. Put your, you know, really put your stamp down here right off the bat. There's the right guy to do it, Masterson. Tomorrow, Ubaldo on the mound, Kazmir and former Indian Bartolo Colon wrapping things up.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point, Jerry, about Masterson. And after the last week and some real question marks about the rotation and, you know, the loss of Kluber, and I don't think anybody can really have quite the same confidence in Kazmir, at least for the short term, at least for the next couple starts, till we see what he has, you know, left in the tank. You know, if just an extended rest, skipping a start makes a difference, or, you know, is this guy out of gas? And, I mean, in fairness to Scott Kazmir, if he's out of gas, I mean, he was pitching for the Sugar Land Skeeters last year, you know, in a three-month-long independent league. I mean, I don't know how many people can be overly disappointed that the guy gave you, you know, 110 quality innings if he's out of gas compared to where he came from. But, you know, I mean, I think that's a fair question to see. And you need Masterson to really give you a good start. I mean, you feel like you always need a good one from him. But considering that 10 days ago you felt good about your number 2 and number 3 starter, and now you don't, I mean, you really need that effort from your number 1.
And I'll tell you what, I was doing some research here before the show, and it was interesting to see, you know, Indians still 4th in runs scored. You know what I'm saying? But the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, we've seen them really struggle. But an interesting correlation, the Indians PR people kind of put these numbers out. In the last 20 games, the quality of starting pitching that they've faced has been higher than any team over that same stretch over the last 20 games. You know, they've, I believe every pitcher they've faced over the last 20 games had an ERA under 3.2 and seven of them under 2.9. They faced some of the best pitchers in baseball and went 12 and 8 throughout the stretch. So that's, when you look at that perspective, the last 20 games is a little bit more impressive perhaps than it looks.
I suppose so, but when I hear you rattle those numbers off, I kind of think, you know, there's lies, damn lies, and then statistics.
Statistics.
Because, I mean, you can kind of shake the numbers however you want. And I mean, I certainly believe those numbers to be true, but I would also counter that with, if this is a playoff team, and that's the hope of, you know, most fans, you know, if this is a playoff team, that's the quality of pitching that
yep.
the Indians are going to face in the playoffs. So excusing, you know, poor offensive production and saying, well, this is really good pitching. Well, yeah, but that's what you see every night in the playoffs. And if this is a playoff team, you know, you have to be successful against that. And, you know, they've definitely held their own. I don't want to make it sound, you know, like a worse plight than what it is. But, I mean, they've also certainly played themselves back, you know, in the race a little bit from where they were a couple weeks ago. So I think, you know, a lot of that offensive struggles really is kind of starting to circle around as Drubal Cabrera. And, I
yes.
mean, he's definitely having his worst season as a big leaguer. And, you know, what those reasons are, I'm not really sure, other than, you know, at this point, he's not really getting it done. And, you know, I think Terry Francona at some point has to really consider, you know, moving him out of the four hole and possibly down in the lineup.
You talk about that four hole. It is in general, not just as Drubal, who, as you said, probably having his poorest season in the league, but between Nick Swisher and everybody who's been in that spot, the Indians cleanup hitters this season batting only .237, 17 home runs, 57 RBIs. They rank 11th in the American League in most offensive categories. That clearly, no matter how this season ends up, finding a cleanup hitter and putting a big bat in the rest of this lineup, I think, is the spark plug that's going to unlock things for next season. And clearly the Indians, that's going to be their A1 target in free agency.
Yeah, I think you're right. When we get to October and November and we're talking about the Indians, you know, grocery list for the winter, you know, if cleanup hitter isn't number one, then starting pitching is going to be number one and cleanup hitter will be
right.
number two. But, you know, I don't see how you get away from both of those as major needs with this team. And, you know, the thing I've wondered in the last couple of days, really, you know, Francona has come out and kind of made mention that Yan Gomes is going to see, you know, more time behind the plate and that he deserves that opportunity. You know, they were very clear at the beginning of the season that they wanted Carlos Santana to relax and not have to run the pitching staff and hit fourth. Well, if he's not running the pitching staff anymore, can he hit fourth? Because no one else can. And he's as fair a candidate at this point, I think, as any of the other contenders.
That's a good point, too. That's why I love having you on the show. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. How about we are up against it. How about Monday, you and I get together, circle back here, and we'll see how this Oakland series breaks down. Break it down for everybody Monday morning.
Sounds good, man.
All right, Mike Brandenberry, check him out, DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com or on Twitter at DidTribeWin. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up for the day and for the week. Don't go anywhere. Still got a few more minutes to go here on the Sports Fix.
As the old folks dance at your family reunion, then 6 o'clock rolls around. You just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime, hang out, and look like a car show.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
Throwing you the best sports commentary in town. The Sports Fix.
It's The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
The engines are cranking and purring, and that can only mean one thing. Bike nights are back at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Rev up your hogs and head on down to Harry Buffalo North Olmsted every Monday night. Enjoy $3 drinks and beers,
$5 pizzas,
and crazy wing specials for all bikers, all on their open patio.
Woo-hoo!
Hot bikes, good friends, and great times are waiting for you. 4824 Great Northern Boulevard, right outside Great Northern Mall. Monday bike nights at Harry Buffalo, the proud sponsor of the Sports Fix.
Whether it's an oil change or a new set of tires, Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck has you covered for your car care needs. They're your neighborhood quick service experts. They also offer a low price tire guarantee. Choose from 13 brands, and if you find the same tires at a lower price within 30 days, Quick Lane at Valley Ford will refund the difference. 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View. Come see why life is better in the Quick Lane. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Hey, you guys are rocking with Reggie Germany, former wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills and Ohio State Buckeye. You're rocking with the Sports Fix.
Little adrenaline jolt there to wrap things up. Figured I'd spark you back to attention. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you. Thank you so much for being with us, not just for the last 90 minutes, but for the last 5 days, for the last 3.5 months here at noon every weekday on the sportsfix.net, and for the last 5 years in general. Thank you to each and every one of you, whether you just hopped on board or you've been following this train the whole time. It's been a hell of a ride. It's been a hell of a week. Good show today. Thanks to all my guests. Thanks to all the interaction coming in. I do want to bring up real quick, you heard Reggie Germany as we went in the break talking about the Ohio State Buckeyes. How about, I don't know if you guys, we talked about this a long time ago when it happened, but a few years ago when Jim Trussell was still coaching at Ohio State, Archie Griffin's son, walk-on, finally got a scholarship offer. You know, I mean, legacy, the name Archie Griffin, his son going to play at Ohio State. He got a chance to play there, but his football career ending. He had shoulder surgery yesterday. Actually, he had shoulder surgery today, and it's most likely going to end his football career. Unfortunate to hear anytime something like that, but a good story because you hope, you always pull for a guy like that. You know, speaking of a guy you pull for, how about this? This is a good story to wrap up the week. You know, we are always big on, as I got Metallica playing in the background, always big on inspiration, always big on those stories of the underdog and the come from behind. Have you guys heard the story of Zach Hodgkins from Alpharetta, Georgia, high school guard? His left arm, he does not have the lower half of his left arm due to a birth defect. A lot of people overcome that and live great lives. Lots of people overcome handicaps. Not many of them, though, when you're missing half of your arm, would make basketball a possibility for yourself and for your, you know, high school and college years. But check this out. Not only has this kid been a basketball player, but he's got a spot at the University of Florida. Coach Billy Donovan giving him a spot as a walk-on. He'll get a chance to prove himself. But this kid, not only media attention because people think it's a good PR story, but the kid can play some ball. He impressed tons of top-level scouts and college coaches when he played on the AAU circuit this year. He was actually ranked. And realize, we're talking about a guy that's missing half of his left arm, playing basketball, a highly athletic sport. And he was one of the most impressive prospects, not only on the 2013 AAU circuit, which is high-level basketball, for those of you that know what AAU is, but also at a fan or at a scouts camp in Virginia this past June. Unbelievable. Just an incredible story. Some of the videos of him, I need to post one of these up on the site because this kid can play some ball. And now he's going to get a chance to play some ball for the University of Florida. I just think that is a hell of a story. I mean, just to go on and do what you do in life would be an incredible accomplishment for a guy like that, you know, and for him to go, he says, I'm not going to be held back. I'm not going to be restrained. Who says I can't play basketball? And he's playing some ball, and he's going to be a Florida Gator, and that's going to be a hell of a story. I look forward to watching that kid in college and seeing what he can do. Well, I'm going to post that story on our Facebook page here when we go off the air. Read about that. Pretty cool stuff. Cool way to wrap up the week. What a great week it's been. We've sent some incredible people to the Browns game yesterday. We've had Andre Knott, Al Pawlowski, all the usual suspects here this week. It's been a hell of a week. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you more for allowing me to join you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because we don't just do this to do this. We do this for you, and we do this because we love you, Daddy. We love Cleveland, and we tell that to the world. We tell the world you ain't kicking dirt on Cleveland no more, because J-Rock, we ain't having it, Daddy. We're going to stand up for Cleveland, and we're going to stand proud each and every day at noon right here, 24/7 on thesportsfix.net. We love you, Cleveland. We will talk to you Monday, same bat time, same bat channel. And don't forget, share something over the weekend, because Monday we'll be reaching our name in that hopper, and somebody's going to win a free t-shirt of your choice from our friends at gvartwork.com. We've got Indians games all weekend. Browns with a win. What a way to go into the weekend. We will begin a new week Monday. We love you, Cleveland. We'll see you right here on The Sports Fix.
We know tuning in to Bravo. Yeah, you hear me everywhere, but it's only one of me. Let me make that very clear. Yeah, I'm from that terminal. You can see the lake from here. Faith in my teams, we keep getting closer every year. But we got the king, though, so hopefully we overcome. Yes, I have a dream, and I know I ain't the only one. Armadale tried to stem my heart, but we brought it back. Thanks to Cleveland Clinic, now they call them Kiss the Cardiac. Rock Car, Science Center, Tower City, all of that. Warehouse District, Euclid Corridor, and all the flat. You know that I'm a Tribes fan, and I love sliming. Crockett Park's the perfect place for me to spend some time in. Baby, this is Cleveland. It is so much more to us. You can even go to Severance Hall to see an orchestra.
In Cleveland, we rep our city. Yeah. Two lights separate the grime from the gritty. Gritty, city, to the past, over any city.